Alrighty, welcome to the first Friar Phil show for the 2023 season, which is going to promise to be a really fun season as well. We're recording this on Thursday, the 7-day mark before the season actually starts, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk about a number of topics with my friend E.T. in just a moment, but I want to tell you a change I have on the program now. To please those people that like things to move along, you know, quicker, you know, like baseball games, for instance, and podcast, I'm instituting this system where the guest and I only have 20 seconds to respond each. And when you hear the that means you got to stop because you're done. Kind of like that stupid-ass pitch clock, which we're going to talk about now. How you doing, E.T.?
Doing all right, Fire Phil. How are you?
I'm fine, fine. Now that we got the, of course, you know, the first show of the season, there's got to be technical difficulties going on, but I think we got it working now. So, yeah, I want to talk about this pitch clock thing. A lot of people are not reacting to it very well online and on Twitter. And this guy, Anthony DiComo, I guess he's the writer for the Mets, he wrote this afternoon, the New York Mets and Atlanta Braves finished a 9-inning game in 2 hours and 8 minutes. 2 hours and 8 minutes. So somebody named Santo replied, games that go that fast are not even enjoyable. Imagine a regular season game over by 9, 10 p.m. You go to the bathroom and you miss the whole inning. I agree with him. I mean, I understand, you know, Major League Baseball wants it to move along to appease the stupid-ass people that say, it takes too long at a ball game. Because they think it should go like a football game or a basketball game or a hockey game. Baseball is completely different. And now with this pitch clock thing, you're taking that whole dynamic between the batter and the pitcher away. The psychological fact, you know, that they each work on each other's psychology in a way. To, you know, throw each other off and get the timing off and everything, and now that's not going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, you know, the beauty of baseball is the drama, and, you know, we feel it every time the batter goes to the batter's box. And, you know, there's a lot of thinking going on. Okay, so what pitch he's going to hit? You know, what pitch he's going to throw? What should I hit? So slider, curveball, whatever. So there's a thinking game going on between the batter and the pitcher. And the problem with the pitch clock, I see. I mean, the pitch clock is good in some way, but what I in my opinion, it takes away, like you said, it takes away the drama. It takes away a lot of the thinking going on. And to me, it'll kind of, you know, a lot of things with this, it speeds up the game, but I think it also takes away a lot from what the beauty of baseball is all about. And you know, it's just frustrating when you see all these highlights of people striking out on a non-called strike three. It's kind of stupid, actually.
Yeah, I mean really,
it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, do they? If you incorporate a pitch clock, maybe have a longer pitch clock, or don't penalize the batter right away. Maybe, you know, like a longer pitch clock, but then also do a warning. Hey, you know, if you weren't in the batter's box, the long, you know, you're taking too long or something like that. Do some warnings. But I can understand that, you know, the pitch clock kind of speeds up the game because a lot of times, you know, people, you know, tend to just kind of, you know, concentrate on their phones or don't even watch the game. They're just there.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the true baseball fans like us, we enjoy seeing, you know, strategy, the chess match, the thinking, what's going to happen, with, you know, especially during the playoffs. And they cannot do this during the playoffs.
Oh, No.
That's not baseball. I mean, we saw it with the World Baseball Classic. I think someone posted a video of the matchup between Ohtani and Trout. And basically, the time between that matchup greatly exceeded the pitch clock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was an epic chess match, an epic baseball matchup that, you know, you had to relish at the time. And if baseball's going to be headed in this direction where everything is fast, then I think it eliminates a lot of the greatness of it. And, you know, I could see a lot of people are frustrated about it. And I just think that, you know, and what's, well, I mean, I saw also someone said what's going to hurt is the concessions. Because imagine, I mean, baseball itself, when you go, you know, baseball's crowded. So by the time I'm going to get up after the first inning, go get myself a hot dog. By the time I get back to my seat, it's going to be the third or fourth inning.
Fifth or sixth inning, you know, the way they've got it going. You know, and for me, not only is, you know, the things that you mentioned important, if I'm buying a ticket to a baseball game, and a really expensive ticket, you know, as our most, I think it's $35 for Park at the Park or Gallagher Square, whatever the hell they call it this year, $35 to sit on the grass. So if I'm buying an expensive ticket, I want to spend as much time at the park as I can, you know, before the game. And during the game, watching the game, being able to sit there. I don't want to sit there for 5 hours and watch a 25-inning game. But I don't mind sitting there 3 hours. It doesn't seem like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I feel like I get my money's worth with that. But with the pitch clock and moving it along to 2 hours and 8 minutes, I feel like, yeah, I'm getting like, cheated a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's like you said, it just kind of eliminates, it cheats the beauty of the game, the strategy, the match, the mind games, the, you know, thinking of what the pitcher's gonna throw, what the hitter's, you know, what's he looking for, and it's just kind of, you know, the game's gonna go. You know, those who've been watching baseball like myself for the last almost 40 years. You know, the games are going to go quicker than you expect. It's just going to be by the time it's like 7:30 or 8 o'clock, the game's going to be, you know, in the ninth inning. You're like, where did this time go? You know, you just got here. So,
and I wonder how TV and radio are going to react to this pitch clock and this quicker time for the games, because if it goes 2 hours and 8 minutes. They lose at least a good hour of advertising revenue.
Yeah, SportsCenter will be around, you know, sooner than expected. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see how this thing goes. I mean, this is like kind of like a trial run to see how it goes. I mean, I guess they did something in the minors, kind of, but I just think that, you know, I certainly hope. Once the postseason happens, if they decide to like scale it back, because you can't have games like this.
No.
End in a non-call strike three, or the pitcher failed to throw the ball at a certain time, or the batter wasn't in the batter's box, and then that ends the game. I'm like, what is that?
That's crazy. You know, the batter might have an itch on his ass and have to itch for a minute. And that takes 2 seconds away from the clock. Oh, sorry. Yeah. You have to stop batting now, or you get a strike.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I just think
that. I mean, they might as well give a little bell to the umpires too to ring, make it festive, you know.
Yeah, Yeah.
Or a buzzer. I don't have a buzzer, Sam. Bzz. I'm sorry, you're over your limit.
Yeah. We shall see what happens. And it's interesting.
Well, the good news is the Padres look good for opening day so far. Soto's injury isn't as bad as they thought it might be, which is good. And Musgrove has made some progress. He did a simulated game yesterday, and it went well. So I want to hear some of your thoughts about the offseason. You know, what A.G. Preller did, you know, or didn't do good enough.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the roster pretty much set as of right now. I mean, there's some non-roster invitees that have been doing pretty impressive in spring training. But then again, that's spring training. But, you know, getting guys like Nelson Cruz and Carpenter, veterans that can hit for power. I mean, it's pretty obvious that this lineup is primed to make a run. You know, with Soto coming back, of course, and Machado and Tatis coming back middle of April, and then getting Bogarts, and you know, it's, and then the way Ha-Seong Kim was playing during the World Baseball Classic, so he's kind of primed and ready to go. So yeah, this the anticipation of this season is probably the biggest that I can ever remember. I mean, coming off a national championship series, you know, beating the Dodgers and stuff. But man, this is something, you know, unprecedented. That, you know, the excitement is in the air. I mean, we saw it when, you know, at FanFest. That was completely just mind blowing.
Yeah. I mean, way too many people. I mean, I bitched about that because I have to go in the wheelchair now. I can't walk around like I used to. So, you know, it's hard for me to get through things. People running in front of you and walking sideways and not, you know, staying in their lane and shit, you know. So I just got tired of it and I started bumping people in the ankles.
Yeah, we
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, it was just a cluster, just trying to figure out where we need to go and stuff. So
yeah, I couldn't get to any of the things I wanted to see or do, so I ended up just hanging out at the 97.3 The Fan booth and listening to the programs.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the anticipation of this season is huge. I mean, this is like, you know, legitimate World Series contender on paper, and the players know it. They all know it. And the only thing about, you know, question marks you see this season is possibly starting pitching, you know, with Darvish, now Musgrove kind of, you know, still on the mend a little bit with his toe. And then you got to figure out who's going to be the fourth starter and the fifth starter, possibly the sixth starter. I mean, you got Nick Martinez, you got Seth Lugo. You also have Michael Wacha. You know, who else is going to start to step up? And is Jay Groom ready to step up? You know, the guy that they traded from Hosmer, from the Red Sox. I mean, this kid was a top prospect in the Red Sox organization, a 6'6" lefty. I mean, is he going to step up this year? So there are some little question marks there. I think overall, I think the team is going to be pretty strong. I think their bullpen is pretty deep. I mean, I just heard about the Pomeranz. That's not good.
No.
I mean, there's guys that have to step up there. Pomeranz is, I guess he had discomfort in the shoulder, so he's probably going to be gone for a while. And then Merrill Hone is hurt. And then you got, you know, Castillo still on the mend. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, there's some guys there that, you know, can bounce back. And, you know, Stephen Wilson can get a good start to the season. Tim Hill, Suarez, Hader. You still got Bill Chrisman. You still got guys that can pitch. So, I mean, you know, just I think the bullpen is pretty set. As far as catcher, Austin Nola kind of had a fractured nose. I think that'd be fine, though. Camposano's been pretty impressive in the spring so far. You know, he's going to be slated to be the backup catcher, but I think, you know, he's still a young kid, so I think he's a chance to start a lot of games. Mm-hmm. First baseman is going to be Cronenworth, Cruz, Carpenter. Second base is going to be Kim, and with Cronenworth also there. And then, you know, you got Manny at third. You got Bogarts at short. Tatis is going to be possibly playing short with, you know, switch flip-flop between DH and shortstop. He's probably going to be the primary right fielder when he comes back, which gives him a lot more flexibility. I mean, Soto are going to be your left fielder. You know, Zocar is the backup. Adam Engel's probably going to play the center field with Trent Grisham. You know, Grisham, I mean, he's looking pretty good. I mean, I think he's that mustache, I think, has got him more motivated than anything.
Yeah, butched him up a little bit and gets him going.
There. So, and then, you know, DH, Cruz, Carpenter, anybody can play the DH there. And, I think this team is ready to go. We'll see, because, I mean, who knows? You know, we'll, usually we always have to, you know, we think that the starting lineup is set once the season starts, but, you know, come the trading deadline, you know, some of these guys might not be here.
Yeah, you never know.
Trading deadline. So who knows who's going to be available and what he's going to try to, what Preller has any ideas of getting to October and stuff, if that's the idea of trying to get over the top, if there's someone out there that fancies them and stuff. So
Ohtani, perhaps. I'm already seeing articles about trading certain players from the Padres, and the one I saw today was Tatis trading him to Seattle.
Oh.
And how that would be such a good fit for Seattle, because they need a shortstop and we need pitching, and they have, you know, lots of young pitchers available. So why not trade Fernando Tatis Jr.? And I'm like, all right, on paper for a business decision, that sounds okay, but you got to think about the fan base. Look at what happened when he hurt himself and left, and what happened to the team, the morale with the team, and look at how the fan base reacted to that. Look at how the fan base reacts to any time you trade away a real popular player. And I think that has to be in the equation as well. And I think AJ Preller and Peter Seidler think about that as well. And I'm wondering how Fernando's going to cope with being a right fielder and not a shortstop anymore. Because a while back he said, I'm a shortstop. And that's what I want to be for years. And now he's another shortstop. But I guess, you know, he put the cream on. And he kind of screwed himself in that fashion. And Bogarts was a good pickup. So, I don't know. You think he'll do okay out in right field? And you probably can hear the cat in the background, too. Nikki's putting in her two cents about Fernando. And she's saying, well, I think he'll do fine out there. He's a team player. So that's what the cat has to say. What do you think
about Fernando? Well, I think, you know, he's... Fernando Tatis is he's starting to come up. I mean, the last few games, he was like 0-16 or something in spring training, and now he's like 10 for his last 17. So I think, you know, he had to just get his baseball feet wet, you know, to kind of get the feeling of being in a game. And I think he's excited. I mean, he's made some plays in right field. I mean, I don't expect him to be Gold Glove right away. You know, he's athletic enough to make plays in the right field. He's going to misjudge balls. You know that. Because he's been playing mainly shortstop pretty much all his career. So But, you know, he's been making plays out in the right field. I think he's capable and athletic enough to make those plays. But when he comes in, I think, we all expect him to be the same Fernando come when he comes back. So, you know, we just have to kind of be patient and stuff. So it's kind of be patient with Fernando because, you know, he's going to be entering real game situations. I just think he's going to have a probably big year again if he stays healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would tend to agree. Nikki, she's been waiting to do this now. The whole 6 months we've been off. There you go. Eat something. Enjoy. She's hungry. That's what the problem is. So, with the Padres and their schedule, what do you think about that? The different kind of schedule we're having this year.
You mean with the schedule? I haven't really taken a look at the schedule. But is it the one with we have less games coming up with early on, or how's that work?
Well, it's letting us play more teams, and you only play them once. I think once at your stadium, once at theirs.
Yeah.
I may be wrong about that, but I think that's how it works, because we're going to be playing a lot of teams that we don't usually play, which will be good. You know, I kind of like the idea of it because it gives a little bit more variety to the games. You know, you're not seeing game after game with Arizona or the Dodgers or Colorado or...
Yeah, it looks like it's more spread out because I think based in April, we're kind of looking at the Brewer, we're seeing the Mets, we're seeing the Braves on the 6th for the 10th to the 9th. Then we go to, so we're kind of going east then to Milwaukee, D-backs again, so we play the D-backs like twice, and the Rockies, we open up with the Rockies, and then we don't really see the Dodgers until May 12th, it looks like. So it looks like we're also playing the American League East with the Red Sox and the Yankees. So we're playing a lot of East Coast. I'm looking here, I'm looking at a lot of East Coast.
Yeah.
In May, and we go against Guardians in June and Rays. You know, get back to the Giants until June 19th. So that's summertime. We play the Cubs a lot, though. I noticed that. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
We play the Cubs like in April, and then we play the Cubs again in June, and then like a 4-game series there. And yeah, it's kind of. I'm looking at it right now. It's kind of like, yeah, we're playing a lot. It seems like there's a lot of. It's basically spread out more than I've seen it. And it looks like more toward the end of the season. Yeah, it's not like consecutive against. Basically, I'm looking at it right now. It's kind of like it's not consecutive against the NL West. There's a 3-game series here, and then a 3-game series against the East, and then an American League series here, and then back against the West. So it's not like consecutive Dodgers, Rockies. Diamondbacks, you know, games like that consecutively against the NL West. It's basically spread out. So it's kind of interesting. You kind of get it, you know, I guess it adds more to the drama of it, in anticipation of what, you know, the matchups will be. So it's, you know, it's not like you're going to face the Dodgers, knowing you're going to face the Dodgers in like 5 days and stuff like that. So it's just kind of, you know, from playing one series to the next, like you're playing at LA and then playing at home against Petco. So it's kind of, yeah, it is different. A lot of different changes.
I'm looking forward to it myself.
Yeah. So.
Should be fun.
Very excited about it, that's for sure.
And I like that we're playing Colorado to start off with. Hopefully that will give us some wins in our opening day win. And that'll excite the players. And the crowd that's there. Oh, by the way, a good day to go is April 13th if you still can get tickets for it. They're doing a Soto bobblehead, if you're a bobblehead person.
Yeah, that's against the Brewers at 640.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got my ticket so I can have Soto here with the rest of the guys bobbling around. I've even got the San Diego chicken.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty good schedule going to come up. Yeah, April, March, yeah.
Yep.
So who do you think is going to be the opening day starter? I think it's going to be Snell?
Maybe Snell.
Yeah.
They're kicking around Darvish, but I don't know if that will work with him participating with that other series. We'll see. Maybe Darvish or Snell or Waka. I'm going through them all just in case I'm wrong. You know, I'll just list all the pitchers that we have. Nikki's still at it in the other room now. I think she heard me. She says Snell, so I don't know.
I think we'll see if she's right. It all depends if Melvin gives Darvish one more start in spring training, which would make sense because he can't not pitch for another week. So if he starts, you know, he just got back from the World Classic, so I figured if he starts one more time in the spring training, there's a good chance that Snell might actually start opening day on the 30th.
And Lord, please make Snell good that day.
Exactly.
Don't make it one of the bad smell days. Make it a Snell day and a good day.
Not the walking Snell or the behind the pitch count Snell. Just throw strikes Snell. That's what we need.
Maybe the pitch clock will help him a little bit. He won't be thinking too much. He'll just be pitching.
Yeah. Maybe that'll develop a rhythm he'll have. He won't have to think about his pitches. He just has to throw and get him over for strikes.
Oh, please. Oh, God. It makes me nervous a little bit. I'm always nervous when it's opening day, you know, because you don't want to lose your opening day game and look pitiful.
Especially at home.
And especially this year, too.
He's still gonna be 160 games, though. I mean, that's it's gonna go by quick. I mean, if you think about it with the pitch clock and everything, it's gonna go by fast because you know games like you said are gonna be 2 hours, 2.5 hours long. They're not gonna be the drag out drama that baseball gives. It's just gonna be bang, bang, bang. Next thing you know, we're off to game number two. Got to win 2 out of 3 now. Just the speed. Baseball wants to speed the game up and get more fans interested in terms of, especially with those who aren't, into the long, drawn-out games. They want it fast, fast, quick pass. But then it's just like, next thing you know, the game's over.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm kind of anxious to see what the first few games are going to be like with this pitch count.
I mean, you got to go to the bathroom before the game starts because if you try to go during the game,
before the game starts or something, because you'll miss
the whole inning.
You might miss something once you get something to eat. There's a lot of good food at Petco, so.
Oh, and the food, if you got to stand in line for the food for a little while.
Exactly.
Yeah, the whole goddamn game will be gone.
I
don't like this pitch clock idea. I don't like it. It ruins the game. I know we talked about it at the beginning, and I should move on now, but it really annoys me. It's spoiling the game. Bob Melvin had a talk with the press after the games today about future plans for you, Darvish. Unfortunately, I don't have it set up where I can play something from the computer. on here, but if you go to 97.3 The Fan's Twitter today on a Thursday, you can look for that and his comments about what's happening with Yu Darvish, how Ryan Weathers is doing, Fernando Tatis's recent play, and Luis Camposano's offense. So we can get an update about that coming up. Let's talk a little bit about the contracts. And, you know, a lot of people want Soto given a good contract. And a lot of people want Ohtani to come to Petco Park as well. And I don't know how we're going to do it right now with the payroll we have and the money Peter Seidler has spent. And, you know, if there is an endless well of money for this guy or what. But let's hear some of your thoughts about these contracts.
Well, you know, I mean, first and foremost, Peter Seidler wants to win. I mean, he's made it clear that he wants to bring a championship to San Diego. You know, he's worth a lot of money. He owns the Louisville Slugger. He's got partnerships with a bunch of businesses in this Peter Seidler equity partnership. The minority owner is in Tijuana, and he's also a billionaire, and also he's part of the O'Malley family who wanted to buy the Dodgers before the Guggenheim group went ahead and made that purchase over them. So it's pretty obvious that Seidler wants to win a championship, and that he's going to do whatever it takes. And he's got the O'Malley's support right behind him. And re-signing Manny was the huge start. He's here for another 11 years, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But then when it comes down to it, you know, fans want, you know, we got spoiled. I mean, that's obvious. We got spoiled with all the contracts, the new contracts and signing. And now we're having, fantasies of Ohtani now.
Yeah. But, I mean, it would be nice, and I'd hate to see Ohtani on the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Or any team that's in the National League.
Their money to try to get him. So, I mean, it's the fantasy of getting Ohtani is real, but it's also more fantasy because it's also, you know, how much money are you actually spend for this guy?
Yeah, people have speculated now that it's going to take a $600 million 12-year contract.
It's just the thought of it is just mind-boggling because, I mean, he's a dual threat. He's Cy Young type pitcher. He can hit for power. He can play defense. This dude is one of the best athletes that we've seen in quite some time. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious, you know, you saw the World Baseball Classic. And this guy's going to be wanted by a lot of Major League Baseball teams. And the Padres were right there before he went with the Angels. I know Preller was like scouting him. He wanted him bad. He tried to speak Japanese to him and tried to get Hideo Nomo to get him and stuff. So the fantasy of getting him there, San Diego, is I don't know. We'll see if it's realistic or not. I mean, Then you got Soto. You know, he's going to want that $500 million contract. How much can you actually spend to get one of those guys to stay and one of those guys to come here? We'll see. I mean, you just never know what Preller has in mind. He might make a trade by the trade deadline. Get Ohtani. Who knows if the Angels aren't in contention or anything like that. So there's a lot of different things that have to, to align in order to get those contracts there. I mean, we have the talent is amazing that we have on this team, it's just see how much, you know, is it, you know, are we going to spend that much to keep Soto, or are we going to spend a lot to try to get Otani to San Diego, which is another, you know, you're looking, yeah, like you said, it's looking like $600 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot.
Never in our imagination would be talking about $600 million or any $300 million
for a player to play baseball, you know.
Yeah.
$350 million, $400 million. You know, what's it going to be in 10 years? Now, a billion?
Who knows? It's, yeah.
You know, $900,000 to hit a baseball for 6 months?
I know.
I mean, it's, you know, I bless these guys, you know, getting the money that they deserve because of their talent and everything else. But there comes a point in time where, you know, how much is enough? And some people don't like that take when I say that, or I mention it on Twitter. And they give me hell for it. But as somebody that is not wealthy, it just boggles my mind. Because even if I had $1 million, that would be enough for me right now. And I don't know what I'd do with the rest of it.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
But... yeah, you know, we've decided athletes deserve that. Movie stars.
They are the only ones that are talented enough to play the game.
Yeah.
But I guess with the market at the way it is and all the contracts, like, you know, Aaron Judge is getting, and Trey mm-hmm. Turner is getting, you know, all these. You know, and it's funny that, you know, certain ownership aren't. You know, they complain to other ownership, especially Peter Seidler and the Padres, how they aren't, you know, because little old San Diego in the small market, you know, are making trades or even signing big-time players the way they are. Because no one's expecting San Diego. You know, nobody
right.
in the history of baseball, and since the Padres have been in existence, have ever thought that the Padres would ever offer a contract to, say, Manny Machado, or, you know, to even Aaron Judge or anything like that, for that type of money, for the market that we are in our city, that doesn't have the media market, say, of an LA or New York. And it's, you know, this is it's not expected of the Padres to do something like that. It's never been that in their history.
Right.
And now Padres are contending to do that and have the finances to make that decision to do that, then, you know, then they, all those other teams like Colorado or Cincinnati, or they're the ones that, you know, they're worth in billions as well, but they don't make the effort as the Padres are, but then they complain about it. They're saying a lot of owners are complaining about, you know, Seidler's doing this and that, it's ruining baseball. And you had the commissioner saying, oh, how long is this going to last? And, you know, how is baseball? How is this team? How is this? You know, it's great that the Padres are spending this money, but how long is this spending spree going to last? How's that going to, you know, finance, fix them in the future, finance them in the future? How's it going to be?
Yeah, well, now they worry about it, but they don't worry about how much the Dodgers spend to get somebody, or how many millions of dollars the Yankees spend.
Exactly, because it's the money, it's the meat, for one, it's the media market.
Yeah.
Two, the Padres aren't, you know, the little old San Diego doesn't make money as much as, say, L.A., New York, because, you know, those are the ones that actually generate
right.
The revenue, TV and all the media and stuff. So little San Diego's kind of trying to sneak in there to get in there because, you know, we don't get that contract for big money. But little San Diego was always, you know, kind of the little tiny sports town. Like, hey, you know, they want to play with the big boys, but they're not making enough money. Like the big boys do, so But, you know, we'll see how they go. But, you know, San Diego's just, you know, we want to win.
Oh, yeah. And you're not going to tell me we're not a sports town with the outpouring of people that came to that fan fest. And the way tickets are being grabbed up so quickly.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I mean, if there's...
For games even in May.
If your fan base has a wait list on season tickets, you know you're doing something.
Yeah. A wait list.
Like, you know, this city is hungry. The city, you know, losing the Chargers was huge. And
oh, yeah.
The city is hungry to try, you know, to win a championship. I mean, you see it there. People say San Diego, a lot of transplants, a lot of military families. People come and go in San Diego. But you know what? You know, San Diego is, you know, has people have been here a lot of times. We've fans have, you know, seen a lot of ups and we've seen too many downs. And, you know, we grew up with all that stuff.
Right.
You know, when the time comes, if the Padres ever win a championship, I mean, this city's just, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. It's pretty obvious with Fan Fest. We don't, fans won't know what to do with themselves. They'll be all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. And,
I'll be spinning my wheelchair around all over the place. Jesus. It'll be fabulous.
Fan Fest was a prime example of what people, what fans were like, you know, didn't know what to do. We're like, they want to get there. They want to party. They want to have a good time. They want to do something, you know. And the city's hungry for it. They want a championship. And I think if Peter Seidler, you know, built it, they'll built, like you said, if they built it, they will come. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the next several years we'll get a championship here and there, maybe sooner than later.
Mm. And disappoint the Dodgers and the Dodger fans.
Hey, you know, the Dodger fans. Let the Dodger fans, you know, they're the Dodger fans. I don't know.
Yeah.
They'll just, like, you know, they'll treat Padre fans like the little brother. But you know what? Sometimes the little brother has to kick some ass in there to get where they want to be. So,
that's right.
That's what they got to do.
All right, out of time, because I try and keep it 40 minutes or so with my little timer. Oops, time was up. Because people's attention goes away after about 45 minutes. Thanks for coming on and doing the preseason, week before preseason podcast. And I'm sure I'll be talking to you a lot more during the season.
All right, thanks a lot, Farfel.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on. Real good guy. Real good guy. I enjoy talking to him all the time. I mean, I can sit here for hours and talk to E.T. about baseball. And he has a lot of good takes. And you can find him on Twitter at SDFan21. SDFan21. If you want to say hi to E.T., all right, that's it. We're done with the first program for the 2023 season, and I'm looking forward to a lot of good things happening with the Padres. And let's just hope so, huh? I'll see you next time.